Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. And I appreciate the service so far and the songs that we sung, especially the one, Bigger Than Any Mountain. Thank you, Jonas, for choosing that one. And bigger than all my fears and bigger than anything that we face. And we see that this morning with the needs, the prayer requests that we have this morning, the cancer, the relationship struggles. God is truly, He is bigger than anything that we face. And we have to learn to put our trust in God. And for myself, thank you for praying for me this morning. I need that. Like I said, this song, or Bigger Than All My Fears, meant a lot to me because I take this responsibility serious, and I'm the substitute preacher, I guess, this morning for Dave, and I'm happy to do that for him. I've been blessed by studying for this. I just feel a little sorry for you, maybe. Hopefully, though, you'll get something out of it and be blessed by it. But the thing that's kind of, it's been on my mind here at least the last few weeks was, and it kind of goes along with like New Year's resolutions and investing is the word I guess I want to talk about. You know, we talk about a new year and new things and new beginnings and what we want to accomplish. You know, for me and maybe some others, that if you run your own business, you know, as you close out a year, at the end of the year, you think about and you take inventory and you try to figure out how well did I do last year? Did I do good or did I do bad? Or what should we do next year? What should we change? Anything? Is there something that we need to change? We kind of take inventory of our lives, I guess, of our business or whatever. And I think that's a good thing to do. And same as New Year's resolution, you know, sometimes we think it's just another thing that'll fall away by the end of January. And maybe it will, but I still think that it's good to think about these things and take inventory and to ponder these things, what we're doing with our lives. And with the thought of, you know, investing, you know, there's so much we hear lately here. It's on the news. It's maybe I just run into it more because, you know, I'm, you know, my own small business owner or whatever you want to call it or whatever. And maybe I pay more attention than some of you do. I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff in the news of, you know, the financial crisis of different things. We went through that whole COVID thing with, you know, what was going to happen to the markets? What's going to happen? You know, we were surprised. Most people were surprised at the things that went up, the things that the businesses that were booming, the places they had their money that did very, very well, and some of them were surprised that of the things that went the other way that were poor investments. And I think, you know, as it's my personal feeling anyhow, I could be wrong, but I think we're going to be facing more of that in the coming days, the coming years, with the markets and the economy, and everybody, it seems to be on everybody's mind. You know, I'll go to a place of business, you know, that I do business with, and you know, everybody asks the question, are you busy, do you have work, and you know, you ask them the same thing, how's your business doing, and yeah, we're doing good, but it always seems to be a concern of, you know, what is going to happen and all that. And with that, with, you know, with investing, you know, they're thinking, you know, what will our money be worth? You know, we see the inflation going up. We see that our dollar does not buy what it did 1 year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And the questions they ask, you know, is, you know, how can we keep our money? I was talking with a friend this last week that owns a business, and that was a big question on his mind. How do we keep our money from being devalued with inflation? You know, what should we be investing in? And I don't know if how worried he was, but he's at least concerned enough about it that he was buying gold and silver, not just on the markets. He was buying literally gold and silver and stashing it somewhere. I didn't ask him where he put it, but he was stashing gold and silver. And so it's definitely something that I think a lot of people are thinking and feeling, because when we invest, we want to be a winner. We want to have an increase. It feels good to be a winner. That's what, you know, if we make a lot of money, we think that feels good. But the definition here of that Webster, that the dictionary has of investments is, the first one is the act and process of investing money for profit or material result. The second one is an act of devoting time, effort, or energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. And I think most of us probably know that. That's nothing new. But that there's all kinds of different investments. There's long-term investments, there's short-term investments, there's obviously good investments, bad investments. Some of those are going to overlap. There's risky investments, and there's boring investments. And then there's investments of other things like time, and you could go on. This kind of covers a broad range of things, but I want to look at a few of those just kind of to kind of get an idea and set the groundwork maybe a little bit, and it will kind of help us understand some of these investments. And I have down here like a long-term investment. A typical long-term investment might be a piece of real estate or something like that. I had to think of, just came to my mind, my grandpa's farm. When my grandpa started farming, I don't even know what year it was, he bought a 100-acre farm. And if I have it right, he paid, I think, $40,000 for this 100-acre farm, which at the time was a lot of money. It must have been a lot. Like today, you know, if someone paid, you know, how many million for a farm, everybody says, hey, you know what that farm went for. It must have been a little like that, because they heard some back feed that different people had said he's never going to make it with that. But actually, he did. He bought the farm. He farmed. He raised his family. They had 12 children, and he actually went on to buy several more farms after that. And the farm had done well for him. It provided a living for him. It provided for his family. It provided for the needs in the church. It did all that for him. And it made the payments on the farm. So, you know, today, if he would, you know, my grandpa's no longer living, he's been gone for a number of years, but if he would still own that farm, the farm would be worth many, many times more than he paid for it. Probably between, in that area that it's in, is probably between $3 and $4 million, probably something like that. But we look at that, that's a long-term investment. That's how many years. And we would probably all admit that was a pretty good investment. You know, what can, you know, it provided for you, it sustained you, it gave you what you needed in life, and then in the end, it was worth way more than you ever paid for it. So that was what we'd call a long-term investment and a good term. A short-term investment, just maybe buying something we intend to hold a short time. You know, some people flip houses. They buy a house, they want to fix it as fast as they can, and they want to resell it for a profit. That would be a short term. Something like that, you know, might be a good investment. Sometimes it might not be. You don't always know. Another short term investment might be, you know, some of these people that do stock market trading, they're day trading. And they're doing, you know, in a day's time, they're trying to make profits. You know, a lot of that can be risky. But probably one of the more risky investments would be something like, there's like a gold market that's offshore or something like that. And it's extremely risky. I know of a certain instance where there's one that you can invest. And the reason it's offshore is because the risk is actually double the risk that they even allow you to have in the United States. So something like that would be extremely risky because, you know, you're playing with all your money. You're basically gambling your money. And at any time, you could probably lose all of it. It could be gone just like that. So that would be an extremely risky investment. Another example would be, you know, penny stocks, people that buy penny stocks. And, you know, there's some of them that really, really make a huge increase. Like, you know, you take, for example, Bitcoin. When Bitcoin was introduced, I understand it was like 5 cents. So it would be, I guess you'd call that a penny stock. And at its highest that it went at one point, if you would have cashed in when it was at its highest, it was at 68,000. So from 5 cents to 68,000 in a few years is, a lot of people would say, well, that was a good investment. Well, maybe not. I don't know. And like I said, there's other investments that are long-term, boring investments. You know, some people put their money in something, don't even expect a big return, and years later they find out it's worth a lot more than they thought it was. But then there's another type of investment. We invest every day, I think. We invest our time. We invest money. I guess time is sometimes money. Money is time. But there's things that we invest in that we have to survive. We it's just part of life. It's not really intentional. You know, it's just part of, I guess, our everyday life. You know, and some of these, maybe they're good investments, maybe they're not. You know, some of that's to be seen. Some of it has other benefits to it. Maybe if you look at it with money wise, it would be a very poor investment, which I've written a few down. If, you know, things, you buy something and in so many years it goes bad, you have to replace it again. You know, right about a month ago or so, we bought a new living room set of couches for our house. And you look at, that was an investment. Was it a good investment? I don't know. Money-wise, you look in so many years, it's going to be junk. You're going to throw it out. But you look at, you know, what did it gain you? And, you know, and I just did a few calculations with, you know, what it costs. You know, in a couple, you know, like I said, in a few years, you know, it's you know, you try to buy as good as you can, but in a few short years, it's over. It's trash, you know. But, you know, that set, you know, if it lasts as long as our last set, you know, it comes out to maybe costing us 50 cents a day or something like that. So, you know, money-wise, it's a poor investment because it goes downhill and it's junk. But as far as what the use you get out of it, you get to sit on something, you get to be, you know, your family, your company, you get to use this for 50 cents a day. So you say, I think that's a pretty good investment. You know, I would, you know, most of you would probably agree with that. There's other things that are, maybe we don't look at it as an investment. You know, the things we eat, you know, some people try to eat really healthy. Some people try to eat in, you know, so they, you know, you don't eat a lot of sugar so that, you know, maybe your health is better. Maybe your teeth are, or you don't have to go to the dentist as often. You know, there's, you know, this morning, I invested in a bowl of Lucky Charms, you know. So, you know, that hopefully that'll get me through this morning, and it'll be a good investment. You know, I got energy. I have, you know, something to be able to sustain me. You know, I can stand up here. You know, maybe there's other things that maybe they're not so good. Maybe they may or may not be a good investment. You know, that 99-cent bean burrito you got at Taco Bell last week, was that a good investment? Maybe, maybe not. But And examples of, you know, investing too, you know, with, like I mentioned, you know, say the stock market, you know, the bottom was $40.56 on July 8, 1932, and it was just after the Depression. Everybody was just, everything was depressed. And if you had invested in the stock market, I mean, that's a long time ago. That's like 90 years ago. But the stock market as of Friday was $43,302. So from $40 to $43,000, that's like, you know, up like $1,000 or 1,000 times or whatever. And, you know, with other gains in that, I saw somewhere that if you would have put $1,000, which would be an extreme amount of money, in that time because of the Depression, if you would have put $1,000 in, you would be worth like over $5 million today. And then you look at other things, that, like say gold. You know, some people say, "Well, I want to," like I mentioned before, we want to put our money in gold because we don't want our money to be devalued. But you actually look at what gold was in 1932; it was like $20 an ounce, and today it's like $19.32, I believe. So, if you look at how much gold went up, it holds its value, and I think you can buy probably about what you could buy with gold back in that day, but there isn't really a great return on gold. It's just our dollar is valued less. So, but anyhow, I'm not here to give you a lesson on that because I know so little of, you know, that kind of investing or whatever. But what I do want to look at this morning is, you know, what does the Bible say about investing? And I think there's two kind of broad categories, if I can put it into two categories, money and material things and time or our lives. So I think, you know, a lot of the examples, a lot of the parables, and a lot of the things that we look at in the Bible that talk about money actually have nothing to do with the money, the value of it. I don't think that's, and there's principles there, and I believe God gives us principles to run our businesses and to do all these things and make money and, you know, provide for our families, to give to needs and to do all that. But I think that a lot of this, a lot of these lessons, a lot of these parables are mostly to do with something a whole lot deeper than money, something that that really matters in life, which is where we're going with our lives, what we're doing, what matters in the light of eternity. So what does the Bible say about investing? You know, my mind was first drawn to maybe the parable of the talents. You know, you look at the three that were given the talents that, you know, to invest or to do with whatever they wanted to for a certain amount of time. You know, the man that got five talents, he increased it by trading and he got five more. He doubled his money. And the second one had two talents. He got two more and he doubled his money, and which was, you know, a good investment, a great investment. If you can double your money, you know, in a short amount of time like that. And then the third one with one talent was afraid and he hid his talent. And the Lord had harsh words for him. You know, he was maybe like a little bit like us, and we're afraid to invest our money because we're afraid of losing it. So we try to hide it, or we try to, you know, it could be something else in life too that we just try to hide and not use it because we're afraid of losing it. But the Lord had harsh words for him. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Those are some pretty harsh words, you know. How would we treat somebody like that? We would maybe feel sorry for him and say, "Well, maybe you can share a little bit with some of the others," or I don't know. But he said no. He called him a wicked and a slothful servant. And he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a terrible way to end your life by not investing. And another one that came to mind was the prodigal son. What did he do with his money? He asked for his money. I'll just read the verses here, a couple of the verses. And it said, of the prodigal son, and the son came to his father, and he said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. So his father divided them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And there would have fain had filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So here was a father that had two sons, and the one of them wanted his inheritance. He wanted the money that was coming to him. But he took the money and he spent it all on riotous living. And what is riotous living? I mean, you can just imagine what all that was. Just blowing money left and right. Just like there was no end to it, you know. Whatever he wanted, he probably bought. Food, entertainment, whatever. Just blowing it. But then he came to want. So what a bad investment. To wake up someday and you're literally in the pig pen and you wish you could eat their food. You know, you look at the pigs and and they were a very unclean animal. I grew up, maybe not in the pig pen, but we grew up raising pigs. And I know how disgusting that they can be and how, you know, we kind of got used to it a little bit, but a lot of other people were like, you know, that's, you know, they get one whiff of that. You know, a dairy farm was one thing, but hog smell was another, and it was disgusting, you know. And here he was in the pig pen, literally. But it was what he did with his life. It's what he did with his money. He invested in the wrong thing. Back in 1977, which was a long time ago, I know because that was the year I was born, Peter Buffett, I don't know if you know, most of you know who Warren Buffett is, or if you at least heard of him. Peter Buffett was his son. I never knew he even had a Peter. There was a son, Peter. I just ran across this article last week and read, wasn't a lot of information, but back in 1977, Warren Buffett gave Peter his inheritance, and it was when Peter turned 19, and he was, the money came from the selling of his grandfather's farm. And so Warren gave Peter Buffett $90,000 inheritance, which, like I said, came from his grandfather, and told him that that's basically all he's going to get. That's his inheritance, and he shouldn't ever expect anything else. And he gave it to Peter in the form of stock in his company, which is Berkshire Hathaway, which, you know, some of you are familiar with that today. On the stock market, Warren Buffett was a very, very successful stockbroker or owner, whatever you want to call it, trader, probably the most well-known in today's world. There's many, many books you can read about him, and he's still alive today and still doing what he's doing. Very, very wealthy man. But anyhow, Peter, back in 1977, he received that $90,000. So he took that money and he spent it. And Peter took that money, and he decided he wanted to get into music. So he spent it on whatever it took because he didn't have a job. He moved, I think, to California, maybe. He kind of had a hard row to hoe with, you know, trying to figure out this thing, you know, like a lot of these artists do, you know, getting started and everything. Just, I'm going to get ahead of my story just a little bit. If Peter would have left his $90,000 in that stock that his dad gave him, today in January of 2023, that stock, according to the calculations, would be worth $300 million if he would have left it in the stock market. An insane amount of return. 90,000 turned into 300 million, you know. And Peter went and spent it. He blew it, if you want to call it that. But he went into something that he wanted to do. And his words are, is he doesn't regret one second of that decision of doing that. But I guess it wouldn't be fair to tell you the rest of the story. Because if you would actually Google Peter Buffett net worth in 2023 right now, you would find out that he's actually worth $40 billion. That's billion with a B. So you look at that and you look, you know, at the time when he made that decision, I don't know what his dad thought, what Warren thought. Maybe he thought that he's making a terrible mistake. Maybe he thought that he's like the prodigal son and he's spending all his living. Now, I don't know what type of music he is. I never heard of Peter Buffett. But financially, look what he did with his investment. He turned, you know, his $90,000, he pursued his career, he pursued that. We would call that a fantastic investment, actually an insane amount of return. And, you know, there's not very many stories like that. There's just a few. There's so many people that have lost a lot of money. You know, we like to focus on those things, and we like to look at them and envision that, you know, we would love to have those type of investments where we just, you know, somehow it just increased and just really went wild or whatever we want to call it. Well, I have some examples here of things that we can do with that. We can do the same thing. And it's, you know, the story of the widow that gave her two mites. In Mark chapter 12, I'm going to read a few of those verses here, of the widow and her two mites. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, and Jesus saw a teachable moment right here. There was something that was worthy of making a point. He was watching something. He saw something. And he called his disciples and said, Come over here. I have something I want to show you. He wanted to make a specific point. And he said, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And I think what he's saying is that everybody that put in all that money, everything put together, here's a poor widow that cast in more than all of them put together. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So here we have a widow that didn't have hardly anything, but she gave it all. That widow is going to receive an insane amount of return, I believe. Just like Peter Buffett turning his $90,000 into $40 billion. Or even if he'd have left it in the stock market and had $300 million. You thought that was a lot until I told you $40 billion, right? But we can't even imagine the return. We don't even know what $40 billion is. How would we even spend $40 billion? You know, $1 billion is 1,000 million. You know, we could figure out a way to spend a couple million, at least I could, probably. But $1 billion and $40 billion, you know, what would you ever do with that kind of money? But we look at, you know, kingdom economics, and we look at the widow. That's the kind of return I believe that she is going to have, is that kind of insane amount of return, we call it, more than all these other people that put together. You know, that brings up the thought of, and we, you know, as I was studying for this, there's so many of these points You could have a whole message on this and a whole message on that, and it just goes out and just branches out. So, you know, sacrificial giving came to mind, you know, with this widow. You know, we can, you know, we might have not have much to give, or you might not have much to give, I might not have much to give, but that's not no excuse for not investing. You know, whether it's money, whether it's our time. I mean, we see this widow that gave her two mites, and it turned into more money than, I mean, money, quote money, than everybody else has put together. Jesus said, even a drink of water in my name, something like that will even bring a great return if we invest in things like that. And the thing that we hear a lot, I mean, sometimes we can get, bogged down with, you know, just life and with all these things that want to, this we do here, we do there, but it's little things, and it's often we hear the phrase in at least the financial side of it, people that charge fees, monthly fees and stuff, they know this, and the phrase is little and often make much. And whether it's that $2 charge on your credit card every month for how many months, and you do that times how many people, and they know they can get very wealthy over that. But I believe it's the same thing in kingdom economics. If we invest our time, little by little, every day, whatever we do, little by little, little and often make much. But the thing that I would like to bring out, like I had talked before, like beginning about, you know, good investments, bad investments, risky. If we invest in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, it's not risky, and it's not bad. It's guaranteed. We will have a great return. The returns might be different, better or less. I don't know how all that's graded. How God sees that, it seems like maybe there's somewhat of a little bit of a difference in, you know, how much. Obviously with this widow, you know, giving all, hers was worth a whole lot more. But we're guaranteed a great return. We can't go wrong with this. This isn't even an option. You know, we can talk and discuss about, you know, financial things. Is that a good investment? Is that a bad investment? And well, we don't know, and you know, only time will tell. We are guaranteed that whatever we put our money in, quote money, time, we are guaranteed a great return. Matthew 6 says, 19 to 21 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So we see here where to put our money. We see here where we should put our time. We can invest in heaven. We can invest in something that does not be worthless in a few short years. Something that we are guaranteed to have a great return. There's a lot of pitfalls of investing and getting rich. There's lots and lots of warnings given throughout Scripture. A lot of verses in Proverbs. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. And in Timothy, but they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Another one in Proverbs 13. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. If we invest our time and our money in pleasure, if we invest our time and money in wine, in foolish things, in cigarettes, smoking, if we invest our time and money in drugs. I don't think that investment's going to pay off. I don't see that you win anywhere with any of that. I don't see that your life is better by that at all. In fact, very much the opposite. I want to read a few verses here in Luke chapter 12. This is the parable of the rich fool, is what my Bible says. So I'll read that, verse 13 to 21. And excuse me. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The grounds of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and retire in Florida and sit on the beach and have pina coladas. Well, I guess it doesn't say that. But so many times, we look at this, or we don't look at this, and I am guilty. We are guilty of thinking the same thing. The American dream is so much alive. We want to have all these things for ourselves. We want to provide for ourselves, and yet we want to lay up money. We want to retire. We want to make sure that we sugarcoat it lots of times. But how much different is it than really this man here? And I say that to myself, not to judge anybody but myself. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So we see that our possessions, whatever, we can be successful. We can have good investments with our money. But if it's not used for the kingdom, if it's not used for things that matter, if it's just to consume upon ourselves, it's totally worthless. It's like playing Monopoly. We have a Monopoly game. We play Monopoly, and if you didn't use your money for kingdom use, like I said, it's like a Monopoly game. When you're done, you fold it all up and you put it back in the box. So how can we invest? There's, like I said, we could have a message on all of these points. I just wrote a few of them down, and there's many more, many more that we could add to it. But just a couple for a couple different categories. One of them is we should invest in our spiritual life, Bible reading. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Prayer. We should invest in prayer. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And we all know that. And then there's other things, though, to invest in, like our families, people. There's things that we do, quality time. I think I had to think, as far as investing in, say, our children, I had to think that probably the women are going to have some of the greatest returns from this, I'm guessing, because some of that is just the way it is. We get, as men, we get busy and we don't spend the time we should probably with our children. I think the women are going to really make out with this in the time they spend teaching, training their children. The money we spend on even school, we hope for a good return, right? That's why we do it. There's some things that maybe money, it doesn't bring in any money. Well, most all of these things probably don't bring any return on investment as far as money goes. You know, you look at even something as simple as, you know, our children bought rabbits this last year. I mean, rabbits are a good investment, right? You all had rabbits one time in your life. That's a good investment for everybody but Dad that pays for the feed, right? But, you know, you look at that and the things that something like that can teach them, you know, like they're going out and doing their chores now when the water's frozen and it's a pain. You know, dumping the ice out of the bowls and putting fresh water in it. I'm sure you can ask my children how that's going. But I think that's a good investment. I really do. I think, I look at the money I spend for rabbit pellets, and I look, never get that back, right? But you look at, we spend a lot of money in education to teach our children, and the things that they'll learn from that experience, I believe, is very well worth that investment. There's a lot of things like that. That's just one example. We have to look at the benefits, and we can say that was an extremely good investment, and yet, money-wise, no. Church work, what do we invest in? Visiting the elderly, missions. Came to my mind too. You know, a lot of this investing, people that have become very wealthy with investments, a lot of times it's over a long period of time. And people don't pay much attention to it. They don't understand it. They don't. But somebody had a vision. Some of it's accidental, obviously. But it's usually these long, drawn-out things, and you find out years later it's worth a lot of money. And missions came to mind. And actually, specifically, Haven of Rest came to mind. Somebody that puts in 20 years or more going to Haven of Rest every month, little by little, little and often make much, sacrificing your time, even when maybe there was family functions, maybe there was other things, but yet you did it. It was sacrificial giving. Maybe not in this life, but there's going to be some insane amount of return on that investment, I believe. Like I said, the benefits are not in this world. They're out of this world. Another place to give or invest in is the poor. Proverbs says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." In Timothy, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Ready to distribute. Investing in the poor. Investing in knowledge. It's another thing we see in Proverbs, all throughout Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 7, I'm gonna skip over that. I was afraid I didn't have enough content to take up my time, and I actually have too much, so sorry about that. It talks about, if I skip some, I have to kind of get back to my thought here. I was going to read Proverbs 2, but like I said, I'm going to skip that. But it talks about, crying after knowledge and going after wisdom and, you know, investing in that type of a thing. And then in chapter 7, verse 22, it also, we'll back up a little bit. In chapter 2, it's talking about wisdom and, you know, being safe from the strange woman, the harlot. And then chapter 7, verse 22, says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not my heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she shall cast down, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's a very poor, very, very poor investment for somebody that wants to do that. But in chapter 2, it talks about if we invest in knowledge and in wisdom, that we're safe from that. Another thing we can say is to invest is maybe some of this is maybe not so spiritual, but just in hard work. You know, there's blessings in working hard. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. And also Ecclesiastes, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So in conclusion, I have a verse here, a couple of verses in Peter here I want to read. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the kind of investment that I'm talking about. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Like I said, if we don't invest in that and we just invest in our own earthly things, even if there is monetary value in that, even if we look successful to the world, even if we make a lot of money, it's worthless. It's like I said, putting the Monopoly game back in the box again. It's over. And then the poem, it's a long poem, but just a couple lines of it that you're probably familiar with come to mind, and that line is, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.